Easter is a day of miracles. It is life from death, joy from sorrow, celebration from mourning. Easter reminds us that all is never lost, that the story continues as long as we are here to tell it. So gather up your troubles. We're going to bury them beneath the ground and watch them transform into flowers of hope, pushing up through the earth, reminding us on Easter morning that love brings us back to life, calls us from sadness, from grief, from anxiety, into a world renewed and alive and filled with joy once again. These opening words from Peggy Clark welcome all who have gathered this morning for our Easter Sunday service. Welcome to those of you who are gathered here in person at Essex Church, a bumper crowd this morning. Welcome to everyone who's joining us via Zoom from far and wide, and indeed anyone who's watching on YouTube or listening to the podcast at a later date. Please do get in touch if you're out there. We love to hear from you. And for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall, and I am minister with Kensington Unitarians. This morning's service will, of course, be all about Easter, through readings and reflections, poetry and prayer, hymns and beautiful music. We're going to encounter a range of different perspectives on the day, ways of looking at this powerful Christian story, and I invite you each, as always, to engage with that narrative in your own way. In the mainstream churches, people have been building up to Easter for weeks now, through Lent, through Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and now Easter Day itself. And there is a lot to be said for taking time to slowly journey through the Easter story, to fully immerse yourself and experience all of its moods. But still, in our own somewhat abbreviated Unitarian version, we'll ponder what we might learn, what strength and wisdom we might yet draw from this familiar yet still mysterious story, the wisdom and strength that we can draw for our life's own journey. Let's take our customary moment before we go any further. Let's take a pause. Let's make sure we've really arrived, that our soul has caught up with our body, that we're grounded and present in the here and now. Let's remember why it is we're here together once again. You make this hour sacred with our presence and intention. We are co-creating this community of the Spirit. We're making time and space for what really matters most in life. And so I light our chalice flame, as I do each time we gather. It's a simple ritual that connects us with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and it reminds us of the proudly progressive religious tradition of which this gathering is part. For all those who celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, whatever your understanding of that mysterious happening might be, may this day be another affirmation of divine love and promise. For all those who see the eternal story of returning spring and life beginning anew, may you breathe deeply a season of promise and hope. For all who are enduring despair or hopelessness this Easter, may you find in this time of suffering and darkness a doorway to light and warmth that offers you freedom. And for all of us, we can do together what no one person can do in isolation. Rolling the heavy stone aside reminds us that we are far stronger together in community than any one of us could ever be alone. Time to sing. We've got some great Easter hymns today. Most of these we only get to sing once a year at best, so let's do our best to enjoy them while we can, especially while we've got the help of our quartet today. The first hymn is on your hymn sheet if you're in the building, Life's Rebirth. For those joining via Zoom, the words will be up on screen. Let's sing up Life's Rebirth. Let's take all of those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into an extended time of prayer now. This is based on some words by Vivian Pomeroy, special words for Easter. You might want to adjust your position to get more comfortable. You might want to put down anything you don't need to be holding. Perhaps there's a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful. Whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind to pray together and to connect with yourself, with each other, and with that which lies within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and stillness at the very centre of our being. This spring morning, this Easter day, we thank you for the stir of the Spirit within us, for the courage equal to each new day, for the hopes which rise out of the failures of yesterday, for the resolve which lifts its head above wrong and woe and affirms its right to turn and begin again, for the life which cannot be holden by death, for the healing which comes to wounded hearts in time, for the sunrise which is eternally greater than our fire and ashes, for the joy which breaks through we know not how and when least expected, for the disappointment which opens us to better desire, for the darkness where the roots grow deep down, for the shining thread of valour and goodwill that's never lost through all the strange wanderings of humanity, for all the labours of those who have sown that others might reap, and for the high calls to duty and service in our own time, for the deep goodness which is at the heart of the world, for the spirit and example of Jesus and all the saints, for all we love and have ever loved in this one precious life, and for the longing we express through our prayer. And in a few quiet moments now, let us each pray inwardly the silent prayers of our own hearts, calling to mind all those souls we know to be suffering this day, whether close to home or on the other side of the world. Let us take a while to quietly hold all of these sacred beings in the light of love. Let us pray for ourselves too, for we too are sacred beings who face our own struggles and do our best to muddle through life's many ups and downs. Let's take a few more quiet moments to reflect on our own lives and ask for what we most need this day, perhaps comfort or forgiveness or guidance, whatever we need to help us flourish. And let us take just a little longer to remember all the good things in life and give thanks for them. All those moments in this past week where we've encountered generosity, kindness, or pleasure. Let us cultivate a spirit of gratitude as we recall all of those moments that lifted our spirits this week. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen. So as we begin to move into our exploration of the Easter story, I want to invite you to join in with a responsive reading. If you're in the building, this should be somewhere in your order of service. We are a bit short of orders of service because it's a pleasingly large congregation today. So if you haven't got an order of service, can you find someone to share with or look over the shoulder of? I hope we can work this out between us. The responsive reading is by Daniel Budd and it's called We Don't Know What Happened. I think we read this one more or less every Easter, but it's one it seems fitting that Unitarians should start here to get ourselves into the right frame of mind, a frame of mind of not knowing, to be receptive to the varied perspectives on Easter that we're going to hear. If you're in the building, as I say, you'll find it on the sheet, and if you're at home, I see that Ramona's already put it up on screen. So I invite you to join in with the responses in italics. We're not sure what happened, but we know what it's like when someone appears in our life whose message we feel offers hope, whose way of being inspires us with new ways of living. We know what it's like when they fall short of our expectations, or worse, when they are cut down and cast aside by the forces of hate, bigotry, and closed-mindedness. We're not sure what happened, but we know what it's like when someone has grown profoundly into our own lives, who seems as much a part of our living as our own breathing. We know what it's like when they are taken from us, perhaps prematurely, by unwanted change or by death. And the empty place now in our souls is much like an empty tomb. We're not sure what happened, but we know what it's like to feel sorrow and loss, despair and grief. We know the waves of tears and the thoughts of the past which flow through us. We know that memories and stories begin to fill the emptiness. We integrate their gifts to us, and our lives are shored up with a different presence, which will live with us all our lives. We're not sure what happened, but we know what it's like to realise, to have it dawn upon us, that what we have known and loved lives on with us and within us forever, a part of who we are. We know that somehow in our hearts and souls, resurrection is real. Not that of the body, perhaps, but of the spirit. A spirit renewed, even reborn, in the midst of our lives and our living. We're not sure what happened, but we know there is a difficult hope, a faith, that through whatever sorrow or grief we are feeling, there is also a growing sense of grace and gratitude, a joy and thanksgiving, in the mysterious and abiding astonishment of being fully human. In this wonder, may we find strength within our own sense of Easter. Amen. So let's take that spirit now into the next hymn, Now the Green Blade Riseth, which again is on the hymn sheet in your order of service. This one's a beautiful tune. But one, as I said, we only get to sing it once a year. So maybe could you play this one through before we sing? Thanks, George.
Arise, ye who are living, by Bill Darlison. This piece, the conclusion of a longer Easter sermon by the Reverend Bill Darlison, opens with a short quote from Balzac. The angel of the resurrection says not, arise, ye who are dead, but arise, ye who are living. Bill Darlison continues. The person on the cross is you. It is I. It is every man and every woman. Crucifixion is not just an archaic and barbaric punishment for a few unfortunate lawbreakers. It is a condition of life. Crucifixion is the perfect metaphor for the human situation. Because unlike most types of execution, it delivers a slow, lingering, and painful death. What's more, it takes place for all of us on Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull. Golgotha is Aramaic for skull, Calvary is skull in Latin, which is in itself an image of life stripped down to its skeletal essentials. We are all poised in pain on the cross of life. None escapes. And all attempts to insulate ourselves from life's pains are fruitless. Even the rich and famous, even the super talented and super beautiful, even the spiritually advanced suffer the pains of loss, of vulnerability, of mortality. And just like Jesus, each of us is crucified between two thieves. One on the right, one on the left. The gospel text may not tell us their names, and the original story, as found in Mark's gospel, doesn't tell us that one of them repented. But the gospels are clear about their position. And it specifies that they are thieves, not just any old criminals. In Greek, they are called two bandits, men who steal with violence. But what do these bandits steal? They steal our life. They are the past and the future, the twin thieves of everyone's lives. The past is on the left, the future is on the right. The past consumes us with regret, remorse, revenge, nostalgia, habit. The future eats away at our life with anxiety, uncertainty, procrastination, fear. Life is what happens while you're making plans, said John Lennon. Not originally, I might add, but memorably enough. Life is what happens while you are regretting the past and afraid of the future. When then is the transformed life? Jesus told the repentant thief, today. I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. We enter into the life of promise today. Now, it's now or never. By destroying or transforming those twin thieves of our lives, we enter into a whole new way of being. Resurrected life, when the tomb which held us fast is broken open, and we discover a new relationship with life and a new understanding of its pains. This is the consistent message of the world's spiritual traditions. This is the perennial philosophy. This is what Easter means. The message of Easter is not that once upon a time a single individual's death paid the price of sin and he was rewarded by having his corpse reanimated. It is rather that every man and every woman can and must wake up from the unlived life and save the world from the corrosive effects of sleep. The story of the literal crucifixion and literal resurrection from physical death of a single human being is biologically impossible, historically implausible, and in the way that it is often presented, it is morally questionable. But the story of our own resurrection from spiritual death, whilst we are still alive, is the most important and liberating message we will ever hear.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you to Bill, who's had quite poor health recently and who's still sharing these really powerful spiritual messages in every way he can. Sometimes from his hospital bed. So we're going to move into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a short Easter poem from the Unitarian Universalist writer Teresa Novak, which will take us into 3 minutes of silence. The silence will end with a bell, and then we're going to hear some extremely special music for our continued meditation. So again, let's do what we need to do to get comfortable. You might want to get your feet flat on the floor. You might want to close your eyes, and as I always say, the words, they're just an offering. Feel free to meditate in your own way. What an effort it must have been to climb down from that cross so many centuries ago. They thought you were dead forever. It certainly looked like that. You'd prayed your last prayer, healed your last leper, driven out your last demon. They even buried you. It must have felt so good to lay your head down. The funeral cloths were soft. The darkness was comforting. So weary you were, so tired, hurt and bleeding. You'd seen so much, suffered so much, done so much. What harm could it do to give in to rest for a few days? It must have been hard to hear the weeping of those who had loved you, of those who had betrayed you. The stone was heavy, but you had to push it aside, rolling away defeat, banishing hopelessness, overcoming fear. What an effort it must have taken to come back not knowing what people would think. How would they respond? Would they think the miracle was only about you? Thank you for letting us know that we each have the chance, the opportunity, the responsibility to be reborn, resurrected.
We Keep Rising in Love by Molly Hoosh Gordon. This reading by Unitarian Universalist Minister Molly Hoosh Gordon opens with some words from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Molly Hoosh Gordon continues, "The women were there to the very end. They watched as his body was taken down and wrapped in linen and placed in a tomb. I imagine them wailing, keening, or perhaps their limbs felt as heavy as their hearts. Perhaps you too have experienced that spectrum from raging to frozen grief." The earliest telling of the story ends in bewilderment for the women of the story and for the reader alike. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Could Jesus really rise again? Could it really be that the violence of empire and the pain of loss would be denied the final word? In that ancient telling, we don't get an answer. There is no resolution. There is no certainty. There is only a seed of complicated hope and the persistence of human love to help it grow. What strikes me about the ancient text is that it was not only Jesus who rose up that morning. It was also the women who loved him, who rose up from the pit of their grief to tend to him. It was also the movement that his teaching sparked, a community who rose up to spread his message of power and weakness and the victory of love. Is new life possible? Is love stronger even than death? The question itself invites us to rise up and to live as though it were true, to make it true in our living. The lesson for the women, for the forces of empire, for us is this. You can crush love down, bury it, cover it over, but it will rise. It will reach for the sun, and we will reach for each other. Love will have the final word, even if that word is just a question, a wild possibility, a whisper to rise and follow wherever it may lead. Communities formed and nurtured in love will rise up for and with each other again and again. If we've learned nothing else these years, it is this. Even when everything is uncertain, even when we are grieving, even when the loss keeps coming, even when we are forced apart, even when we are bone weary, we keep reaching for one another. We keep rising in love. She concludes with a few words of prayer. Source of love, rise as a spring in our overwintered hearts. Help us stretch from the dark and nourishing soil the bright and nourishing sunlight. Help us reach one another. Love us back to life in all its fullness as we blossom and unfold amid days that will always contain beauty and terror alike, no matter what else they may hold. May each day contain impossible, inexorable, blooming love. Amen.
Thanks, Patricia. Just one more reading. This is by someone called Rex Hunt, and it's called Resurrection Every Day. Today is Easter Day, the day we celebrate life over death, the day we celebrate changed possibilities and give thanks for the spirit of life, visible in Jesus, visible in each one of us, visible in people in all walks of life. As we do celebrate, we also acknowledge that all we have are the stories shaped and reshaped and told orally by people of faith from generation to generation. No logical scientific proof of a bodily resurrection, no videotape of an empty tomb, no seismograph of an Easter earthquake, just stories that in the midst of brokenness, healing stirs. That in the midst of darkness, a light shines. That in the midst of death, life is breaking forth. And when all seems gone, hope springs eternal. Jesus died. He was killed. He was murdered because of what he said and what he stood for. Those close to him, we would claim, were both surprised and shattered. Stricken with fear and grief, they were in no mood to be looking for a silver lining, the one that supposedly comes with every cloud. But some people did think about his death, and all we have of that time and that thinking are stories, shaped and reshaped. It is in those stories they were saying something important, not about his death so much, but about his life. His death mattered to them, true, but his life mattered more, especially when they heard him say something or do something that moved them so deeply. So they began to speak of his death in ways that affirmed his life, and they came to see he stood for something so important that he was willing to give his life for it. That something was the vision of life called the realm or the empire or the kingdom of God, the vision we might now call beloved community. And they came to reaffirm their own commitment to the values and the vision stamped into his life by his words and deeds. They believed that in his words were God's words, in his vision of a new realm, a new empire, a new kingdom cultivated by him among them long before he died. That was something that no executioner or cross could kill. Jesus was dead, but he was not dead to them. His spirit was still coursing through their veins. So likewise, when we believe in a vision of what's possible, a new realm, a new empire, a new kingdom, we too can reaffirm our commitment to the values and vision, and a resurrection invitation to live life deeply and with zeal, to be embraced by life, not scared of it, in all its particularity. Because life cannot remain visionary. It must be completely practiced. It must be a way of life. Resurrection is not just a collection of stories about a so-called once-only event in the past, so many years ago. Because resurrection can, and it does, happen every day. Words from Rex Hunt. So time for one last hymn. This one, if you're in the room, this is actually in a hymn book, number 268 in your grey hymn books, and the words will be on screen. It's a straight-up traditional Easter hymn, no compromises with the words. See if you can set aside your theological inhibitions and embrace the spirit of everyday resurrection in the here and now. Sing your alleluias with gusto. Jesus Christ is risen today.
Oh,
few announcements now. Thanks to Ramona for tech hosting. Thanks to Charlotte for co-hosting and welcoming everyone online. Many, many, many thanks to our musicians today. I think an extra round of applause in advance, I think. Beautiful, beautiful music. Thanks to Brian and Patricia for reading. Thanks to Juliet for greeting and David for making the coffee today. And for those of you here in person, we've got berry lime drizzle cake. I mean, you might only have to have a small piece because there are so many of you, but please do stay and share it. If you're joining on Zoom, please hang on for a chat with Charlotte. And Hannah is going to be offering a yoga class here if you haven't eaten too much cake at 12:30. So do have a word with Hannah, who's sitting near the back, if you want to know more about that. Hang on, Heidi, let me get through the list and then I'll call you up. We've got our regular Heart and Soul Contemplative Spiritual Gathering. That's online twice a week, tonight or Friday, when the theme is self-awareness. Let me know if you want the link to join us for that. We've got the poetry group with Brian in person on Wednesday night. Have a word with him if you want to come. And Sonia is doing her Nia dance class Friday lunchtime. Next Sunday, the service will be led by Janine with guest preacher Rory Castle-Jones of Gethlion and Unitarians. That will be on the theme of being still. And after the service next week, we've got the Many Voices singing group. That's primarily an LGBT event, but everybody is absolutely welcome. Congregation members can go free of charge. It was great fun last time, so do stay behind if you can and support that. The week after, we've got a special service for the 250th anniversary of this congregation. That'll be co-led by me and Sarah Tinker. And after that, there'll be a lunch. Liz is asking people to sign up and say what they will bring for the Bring and Share lunch. So do get in touch with her if you plan to bring something. The next book for the book club is What's in a Name by Sheila Banerjee. That's online on the 28th of April. Sign up if you want to come. We've got a few copies we can lend out if you would like to borrow one. Just let me know. And what else? If you look in the foyer, the latest edition of the Inquirer is out, and on the back page there's a write-up of the induction service, so you might want to take a copy away as a special commemoration of that. And I'm going to be sending out an email sometime towards the end of this week asking people to renew their membership, because we've got the AGM coming up at the end of next month. So please don't make me chase and nag you. If you could just fill in that Google form confirming that you want to be a member for another year, I would really appreciate it. If you're new to the church and you want to join, there's no financial commitment. It's about your heart's commitment to this community. So have a word if you want to join and I'll let you know how. Heidi, I know you've got something to say. Can you come up to the mic so that everyone can hear you?
Thank you.
Hang on, like, they'll miss you if you don't come to the mic.
Roy Clark, who is a member here, and myself, we're having another exhibition, and I've got some information here. This time it is in Hampstead at Burke House, easily reachable from Hampstead Northern Line tube station, and it is to do with landscape, emotional and spiritual responses to landscape. Roy is a photographer, mostly works in black and white. I'm a painter, mostly work with quite strong colors. And as I said, on Tuesday the 9th is the preview, and the exhibition goes on all week except Saturday, and on Sunday we're also going to have a little sort of cake and coffee morning. So I put the information leaflets here, and if anybody is interested,
great, and we'll put details in Friday's email as well so people can look it up.
Jane.
Brilliant, thanks Heidi. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you all to keep in touch and nurture supportive connections. Just time for our closing words and special closing music. Let us go forth this bright Easter morning with the faith that life is worth living, that defeat and adversity can be transformed into victory and hope, that love is eternal and life is stronger than death. And may we find joy this Easter, a joy born of life well lived. May we have love this Easter, bringing healing and new growth. And may we have peace this Easter, a peace that gives us reason to sing. May our faith inspire us to live our lives with dignity, courage, hope and love as we go out and meet the days to come. Amen.